G8 foreign ministers meeting in London this week are focusing on issues of conflict, and particularly how to tackle the question of sexual violence or rape used as a weapon of war. I'm Susie Hodges, and Britain's ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker, spoke to me about how the government wants to set up practical measures to end the climate of impunity that surrounds the perpetrators of such crimes.
It's been a particular focus of both the Prime Minister and the Foreign Secretary since last year, I would say. And the Foreign Secretary was very keen to make this a centrepiece of G8 foreign ministers' work. G8 foreign ministers are focusing on conflict, you know, how to tackle the consequences of conflict, how to prevent conflict, and how to end conflict. And one of the things that we have identified, one of the great areas that hasn't been tackled, is this question of sexual violence in conflict as a weapon of war, rape as a weapon of war. You know, the UN say that in the Democratic Republic of Congo alone, as many as 500,000 women have been raped since 1996. We all have heard the terrible stories of the Bosnian conflict and other conflicts. We're hearing things out of Syria now. And yet, we also know that the perpetrators of this crime get away almost invariably scot-free. There is an impunity around sexual violence in conflict, which has to be tackled. Hardly any cases ever get to court.
But so, how can you tackle it? Because it must be very difficult. You know, we're talking about countries that are often in a state of war, where they haven't got enough functioning judicial system, and, as you say, where there is this climate of impunity.
Well, our aim is to be as practically focused as possible. As a national government, United Kingdom, we have been looking at, for example, creating teams of investigators, specialist investigators, who can go into a conflict zone or a post-conflict zone, and they have the legal expertise, the social expertise, sometimes the psychological expertise as well, to be able to work, particularly with victims, to identify perpetrators and find ways in which cases can be built in order to take them to court. With the G8, we're going to be saying to the G8 and working with our G8 colleagues to look to ensure that there's clear recognition that rape and sexual violence are grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions, and launch an international protocol which will ensure that there are agreed standards for investigating and especially documenting sexual violence, because often the documentation is one of the great problems. And we'll use the G8 as a foundation to build an international coalition. We're working in the United Nations as well to ensure that this is a number one focus in the United Nations. There is a special rapporteur at the United Nations on this area, and we've been working with her to see how, in a practical way, the victims can be both supported after such crime has taken place, that the perpetrators are dealt with for the courts, and a message sent out to those who, generals who will order their troops to go down this route in the future, and others, that there won't be impunity, because that's the only way you can stop it in the future, by making clear that perpetrators will be taken to court.
So you're presumably focusing on the countries. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has, I think, been described as the rape capital of the world. But what other countries is rape as a weapon of war being used very frequently?
Well, I mentioned, of course, you know, the Bosnian conflict, where there was clearly systematic use of this dreadful crime against civilian populations. There are reports out of Syria of women being mistreated and raped. Sadly, it is something that seems to be an aspect of modern conflict, where forces, particularly in civil conflict, where civilian populations are at risk, large numbers of refugees, vulnerable refugees, are at risk.
So you're saying the incidence of rape would appear to be growing. I mean, rape has always existed side by side with conflict, as we know, you know, throughout history, but you think it's become more widespread, more systematic.
That's the thing. It's not just the casual violence, that's bad enough, but it is the use of rape as a weapon of war, psychological weapon of war, to browbeat civilian populations, to dominate civilian populations, a form of aggression against the other side. And this is something that can't be allowed to continue, and we want to find ways to eradicate this, that those tempted to perpetrate this crime know that they will go to court eventually.
Have you received support for this initiative from your G8 partner nations?
There's been great support, actually. Your countries like the United States, like Italy, you know, are fully on board, and I think very interested in the practical nature of the proposals. We don't just want to declare that this is a bad thing and should be tackled and leave it at that. We really want to find ways of doing so, which is why we've got this pretty much the support of the G8, but also working with the UN as well. And I expect there will be a major event later on this year in the United Nations, probably in September. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has offered his full personal support to this as well. So there's real momentum behind this, and that's good.
And what other issues will be discussed at this G8 foreign ministers meeting? Obviously, you're focusing on this particular issue, but yeah, there must be other issues that are going to be discussed.
Well, sadly, as I mentioned, you know, conflict is very much a theme, because there are urgent area issues of conflict which the G8 ministers will want to tackle: Syria, Iran, Middle East peace process, the Sahel, North Korea, of course. But also looking at ways, countries which are coming out of conflict and where we can help to put them back on their feet. Two countries in particular, I think, we'll see work on Somalia and Burma. In the case of Somalia, international support for the new Somali government. There's going to be a big conference in May in London, looking at helping Somalia re-engage, for example, with global institutions like financial institutions. And in Burma, finding ways in which the G8 can support Burmese proposals for political, economic reform and responsible investment. Clearly, in these countries, ultimately, responsibility lies with those countries themselves. But the G8, with its economic clout, with its political clout, with its financial weight, can support those countries where governments are working to try and find ways out of, you know, the desperate conflicts that they've been facing over many years.